About 4 years ago, I had a terrible car wreck. A kid ran a red light in a dually and hit me right here. Spent 4 days in intensive care in the hospital. Had a traumatic brain injury. And it affected my short-term memory to some degree. But getting here tonight, I'm feeling a little better because of all these people I've known 30 years ago, and I can actually remember you. So I'm kind of proud of myself. But, you know, the family of God is just amazing. We, all the time and places and circumstances and things that happen, and we run into each other and find each other trying to serve the Lord and do what's right, and it's just a thrill. I was talking to my cousin this morning. My aunt, his mother, passed away last week, and I told him, I said, you know, I hear people talk about their childhood, and I said, you know, my childhood was almost perfect, And I got to thinking about it. My life has been almost perfect. Not because I'm perfect, but it's just been a fantastic life. I've never met anybody I want to change places with. And a lot of you that, to my surprise, seeing tonight, are a part of those precious memories that I have. So I'm thrilled to be here. I couldn't wait to get down here because I want to tell you something. 25, 30 years ago, it's down here in Robert O. Miller was alive. And if you were around back then, you know he was a character. His brother was too. He gave me a big thing of popcorn when I was here at a meeting or preaching here or something like that. And so I love popcorn. So we went home and we went through that can of popcorn. We'd eat some about every night. Well, my wife's sister came from Colorado, flew here to stay with us for a week. And we were fixing some of the, we're about halfway through the can, some popcorn for her. And she said, Glenn, this popcorn's moving. And we went over and looked. I guess we've been eating bugs for about, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. But there's little white worms in that popcorn. And I don't think that that was the first ones that had ever been in there. So that was my first bugs that I remember feeding to any other parts of my family, but I'd eaten a few myself. But that's just a great memory of being here and some of the great times. Let's get down to business. If you want to be a part of the one body, it's pretty simple. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and verse 13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Here's the invitation. If you would like to be a part of the body of Christ, you've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to confess Christ. You've got to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And being in Christ is being in His body, being baptized into that one body. And those who are members of His body have been baptized into His body in their obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what we're talking about is those people who have obeyed the gospel and they're in the body of Christ. And my topic, if I understand it correctly, is about that one body, the one body of Christ, and what it means not about getting into Christ, getting into His body, but what it means when we are in the body of Christ. I went through every passage in the New Testament that uses the word body. And I started analyzing, looking at them. 80% of them were talking about the human body. But there's several passages, and we're going to hit a few of them tonight, that deal with the body of Christ. And they're basically all found in a few places. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it talks about the body is one. And I think he's talking about several different things right there. But he uses the word body here and this one body, this concept in 1 Corinthians 12. So we start reading about, studying about the one body, you're going to have to look at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. If you're going to talk about the one body, you've got to look at the book of Romans. In Romans, the 12th chapter, it talks about the much the same kind of subject that we have here in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, about being in the one body. But if you really want to get into the one body as far as the major part of the teaching about it, it's Ephesians and Colossians. So if you'll turn over with me for a moment to Colossians, I want to read a couple of verses out of Colossians, make some points that have to do with the one body as Paul writes about it to these books. And of course, Ephesians is about Christ as the head of church. Colossians about, you know, he's the fullness of deity. But they both deal with the body, they deal with a lot of the same things, and they overlap in their structure. But they emphasize the body of Christ, the one body. And that's our topic that we've got tonight. Over in Colossians, the first chapter, and verse 18, he makes it just real simple. He says, he is also the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. He is the head of the body. What is the body? It's the church. I want you to back up to verse 13. This, even my marginal note here in this Bible, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, it says the incomparable Christ. When Ted and I were in Florida College in 1971, we read this passage and studied it in our Scheme of Redemption class. He rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. What I like about Paul is he thinks analytically. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. He rescued us from the domain of darkness. Number two, he transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Number three, we have redemption. Number four, he's the image of the invisible God, and go on and go on and go on. And then you get down to verse 18. The magnificence of Christ, His glory, His creative power, His love for mankind, His eternal glory is manifested. He is also head of the body, the church. The one who has translated us from the domain of darkness, who has redeemed us, the image of the invisible God, He has told me, you can be in my body. I can't hardly get a grip on that. That's beyond comprehension, that this would all filter down. Before all things, in Him all things hold together, and I'm a part of His body. I'm a part of His body. We are privileged to be a part of the one body of Christ. Look over to Colossians, the third chapter, verse 15. Here's the other one. In the book of Colossians, and then we'll go to Ephesians and get the others. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Everybody knows this verse. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. We sing that song, do all in the name of the Lord. But you see what it's all preceded by? The perfect bond of unity is the peace of Christ, the rule in our hearts, the thankfulness, because we've been called to be a part of one body, the body of Christ. And when I started looking at this and thinking about this, I thought about how wonderful it is to be a part of the body of Christ. And God's love and His amazing redemptive power that would take somebody like me into His body. Let's go back over to the book of Ephesians. Get a few points there, and I think we can conclude your series and what we're trying to accomplish here. In Ephesians 1, in verse 22, it says, "He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body." You remember what we read in Colossians 3, verse 16? We talked about the singing. The verse before that was the one about our one body, and then the one, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord." Here it is again. "Put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body." Not only am I privileged to be in the body, the one body of Christ, being in His body means I submit to everything that He wants, to everything that His will. Ted and I were talking about some of our old injuries. A few months ago, I got trigger finger, and my thumb locks up like that. Drives me nuts. It just locks up, pops back and forth. Going to go see a hand surgeon this summer and see if I can get this tendon repaired or do something. And I told Ted the problem, what really makes me mad, is trying to do a D chord or something and hit an F sharp with on my sixth string. That's aggravating when you can't push for a bar chord or anything like that. When our body, you don't give any thought to your thumb. Then I go try and open a can of jalapenos or pickles or something like that. And I'm trying to hold them and twist them and, can't. Like, our body functions together. And the things that we take for granted until something goes wrong with it, then we don't think anything about it. And so the functioning is harmed in some way. And He says this body is subjected to Him. And I'll tell you, one of the problems with local churches as far as the body is concerned, we have non-functioning parts of the body and we don't care until they're chopped off someplace. We're not going to work to try and help them be restored or get them back doing what they want to do. They just, quit coming, showing up. They're gone for months. And then all of a sudden we say, well, where'd they go? And if you had lost your finger or your thumb, we'd be immediately trying to solve that. If we're going to be the one body, we've got to start thinking like one body. In local congregations, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And think about your own body and how it functions. Which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. I decided I was going to be a preacher about 18 years old. I started preaching 45 years ago. So I'm going to study this passage of Scripture and I'm going to look up the word. It says, His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And so I'm going to go to the scholars and figure out what the word fullness means. So I get out my Vines New Testament dictionary and I flip through it to fullness. Guess what the definition in Robert Vine's New Testament word study is for fullness. Fullness. The definition of fullness is fullness. That helped me a whole lot. Completeness. The idea of being full. We are the completion of Christ. His body completes Him. We are complete because He is the head, but He is complete because of us. We are His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. He talks about us, about Christ and the Father being the fullness of the Godhead. And you think about that's our connection to eternity and to eternal things. We're part of the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. Look down at chapter 2 and verse 16. He might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. I've preached in 7 different states. I've had the place where I'm preaching right now is one of the most diverse groups of people that I've ever been with. We're small, but you know, we've had people that, you know, couldn't even speak English, and I'd have to preach with a translator, and we'd have, you know, work on learning another language and stuff like that. Every kind of color, every kind of background. Wealthy people, well-educated people, people with hardly any education at all. I am continually amazed the diversity of the body of Christ. What organization can go along and say, we'll take everybody. If you'll have faith and obey the gospel, we'll take you. And you go around the world and you go to places and you preach the gospel there and you see these people. And we're all part of the body of Christ. We've been reconciled into one body. All of us. There's no second class. There's no special place for special people. It's all of us in the body of Christ. Now, I'm heading somewhere, and you can start guessing where I'm going, because it's going to take care of all the other passages of Scripture. But we're reconciled to God in that one body. Everybody's got that opportunity. My brother and I were talking about some group of people one time. He says, you know what bothers me? I said, no. He said, their soul is just as important to God as mine is. I thought, nah. You ever thought about that? Somebody else's soul meaning something to our God. We can be reconciled into His one body. So there's our field of operation. There's our field of people that we can work with. All right, over chapter 3 and verse 6. To be specific, and this is the reconciliation point, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promises in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Here's his number system again. Fellow heirs, number 1. Fellow members, number 2. Fellow partakers of the promises of Christ Jesus through the gospel. The whole point of the one body, looking at the body, is the parts of the body, the fellows that are embraced within the body of Christ, who share in His blessings, who share His members, who partake of His promises, brought about through the gospel of Jesus Christ as it's taught. I guess I probably should have started in Ephesians 4 and verse 4. Paul says, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling. One of the responsibilities of being in the body of Christ is acting like you're in the body of Christ. Walk worthy of the calling which you were called. Humility, gentleness, patience, tolerance for one another in love. You know how many times I would have just loved to take an eraser and erase that verse out? Think about that. Tolerate? Surely he didn't mean some of the people I've run across. Diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Why did he say all that? Because there is one body. There's one body. One Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. You see it again? He starts with the body and he draws it to Christ, or he starts with Christ and draws it to the body. It connected with deity. The body of Christ is a part of deity, connected to deity, and that's our connection to God, and he tells us, act like it. With all humility, gentleness, with patience, and in love. 4, 11, and 12. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. You ever thought about what your mission is? You know, why does this church exist? So we have a place to partake of the Lord's Supper. So we have a place to worship. Of course. What about building the body of Christ? And I'm not talking about talking to members of the church and encouraging them. I don't think that's what this is talking about. I think this is talking about building with people. Christ body. Building up that body. Making it a bigger body. I think sometimes I get confused and I'm looking at more at other things than I am at building the size of the body by having people obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then being a part of that. That's the problem with denominationalism. Its idea and concept of submission to Christ, its importance, and the gospel of Christ and its place of emphasis is not directed like this. Think about, of all the things that he could have mentioned that are part of the body, look at what he says. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Pastors is employment to feed. Shepherd. What do all those have in common? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's all based on people who proclaim or teach the gospel of Christ. If we're going to build the body of Christ, we're going to have to take a different path than the path of the world, because our work, our building up the body of Christ, God gave us specific things to build His body, and it's teaching someone else the gospel of Christ. Well, when do you stop that? Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Non-mission world throws out, you know, you believe what you want to, we'll accept this, you know, we're open to this, it doesn't really matter. It changes, even the names change, emphasis change to, you know, what particular kind of appeal that, you know, we want to make to people as, you know, things change from generation to generation. And the body just keeps preaching the gospel of Christ. The body just keeps studying the Bible of Christ. The body just keeps the Bible open and tries to get someone to listen, to touch their heart of the gospel message, that you can be a part of the body of Christ. Well, let's go on down from there to Ephesians 4 and verse 16. We've got to speak the truth in love, he tells us, verse 15. We are to grow up in all aspects to Him who is ahead, even Christ. Every once in a while, I get to looking at myself and I think, Glenn, grow up. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. We've gone to the body. We've gone from the relationship of the body to Christ, to deity, to each other. And now he tells us the makeup of this body and how this body operates. And he says, and held together by every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part. Now here's what I want you to do. Mark individual part. Okay, so when we're talking about the body, now we've come to a passage of Scripture that talks about the individual part. So we've been talking about the body of Christ, being baptized in the body of Christ, being part of the body of Christ, the relationship in the body of Christ. Now we've moved down to individual. According to the proper working of each individual part. So are you in the body of Christ? Then I assume you should assume, I should assume we are an individual part, right? It causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So now, whatever part I am, I'm an individual part, and I've got my job. But what I really want to worry about is John, the individual part, to make sure he's doing his job. Rather than me, as an individual, doing my job. How does that work out in the real world? How does that work in the church? When I'm worried about someone else's individual responsibility, I'll be glad to let them fulfill my responsibility. And I'm more worried about their individual responsibility than I am myself. How's that worked out for us? And building up of itself in love. I rarely use a sermon outline. I found an old book of my sermon outlines from about 30 years ago, and I was really kind of embarrassed when I looked through them. I still try to study every topic anew, look at every passage and try and get something out. And maybe I see something that I haven't seen before, or maybe I see something that I've forgotten. But this word individual jumped off the page to me, and I thought, hey, I just wonder how many times the New Testament says individual. Well, I found out. Remember where we started 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter? Take a look at that passage again. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, remember I said we are all baptized into the one body, and that's one of the places where the word body is found? Well, I want you to look at verse 11 I suddenly discovered. That one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. Well, then he goes on and says, you know, the body has many members and we are all one in Christ and all those kinds of things. And we understand, you know, the eye and the hand and everything like that. He concludes all this in verse 27 of chapter 12. You are Christ's body, individually members of it. Individually. Well, Romans the 12th chapter. I told you it's one of those places that uses the body. So let's go over to Romans the 12th chapter and see what we find over here. Romans the 12th chapter in verse 5. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world. We who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Then look at what he says. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us has exercised them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, do it in serving. Can you find your individual responsibility here, your individual talent? Service. He who teaches in his teaching. We try and get some people to teach and it's a total disaster. They can't teach. We shouldn't force them to teach. They don't want to teach. It's a nightmare for them and for people who listen to them. But some people can teach. But they can do something that someone else can't. He who leads with diligence. I skipped he who gives with liberality. There's some people who make money, know how to make money, know how to give money. And we sit back in amazement, you know, why doesn't that ever happen to me? They've got a talent. Can it be used? Yes, it can be used. There are people who lead. People just follow them. And you follow them and you realize you are a leader, then you do it with diligence. You show mercy. You do it with cheerfulness. There are some people, when you're sick, you want them by your bedside. And there's other people coming down the hall in the hospital and your wife says, so-and-so's coming to see you, and you think, give me up, let me go to the bathroom or lock the door or do something. I took an elder to visit some lady in the hospital one time. This is a true story. And so we walked in the hospital. Ryan invited him to go with me. Thought he needed to do a little visiting. So I went into the hospital. We went to the lady's room. And we got to talking to her. And so I said, you know, what's going on with you? And I don't remember what she said. But she told me what her problem was. And the elder standing there beside me, he says, my sister died of that. Get. You know, I didn't take him with me to the hospital anymore. I'm sorry his sister died, but I didn't want him convincing that woman that she wasn't going to make it. You know, I'll tell you something. One of my kids, I teach 7th grade at World History at Graves County Middle School. Yeah, I take a lot of medicine. Yeah, that's true. One of my kids throws up in my class. I'm going to be there puking right beside him. I'm going to get him out of my class as fast as I can, and I'm going to go heave-ho down there. It is. If you start talking about your scars and the surgeries that they've done on you, I'm going to start slipping away. When my first son was about to be born, my wife and I went to a childbirth class, and we were sitting in a classroom at desk. And I got, you know, I saw a couple of babies born, and I started getting kind of hot. And the last thing I remember was C-section. And I fell on my face. My wife was mad at me for months because she missed the childbirth film. But I'll tell you what. You get in a car crash. You fall and hurt yourself. I'm the guy you want there while you call 911. I'll take care of you. I don't care what it is. I can do that. If I got to think about it, you better call 911 for me. That's the way we all are, isn't it? Isn't that the way we are? We've got particular kinds of talents, and when we figure those out, I stay away from childbirth films and wait for someone to call 911. So he says, we are individually members one another, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, diligence, mercy, cheerfulness. Cheerfulness. We've got gifts individually. Then, let me hit one more of these. When we're talking about this body individually. We're talking of getting down to our duties and responsibilities. Look at this in Ephesians 5, 5th chapter, and this is where we're going to end. Thank you so much for inviting me. This was a great thrill for me to be here, see so many people that I've known from the past and had no idea I would see tonight, to preach the gospel of Christ and the benefit it did me to study about the one body. Chapter 5, verse 23 through 32, I can't tell you how many marriages I've read parts of these verses. But then I also always remember verse 32, he says, I'm not talking about marriage, I'm talking about Christ and the church. And here's what he said in verse 23. He is the Savior of the body. He's the Savior of the body. In verse 30, we are members of His body. He loved His body. He gave Himself for His body. I tell you, one of the things I see about members of the church in the realms that I operate, we've got a group of people, I'm afraid, and I hope it's not very many, who are sitting in our buildings thinking, man, I wish I was out in one of those denominations. They've got all those activities, they've got all this, they've got all that. Let me tell you something. I am proud, in the best sense of the word, to be a member of the body of Christ, to be a part of the church of Christ, to be a part of the one body and blessed by God and connected to deity. I don't want to be anyplace else. He is the Savior of the body. I'm going to do my individual responsibility, do what talents and use what talents God has given to me, and thank God every day for His grace and His mercy. When I thought about these verses, and I thought about the one body, I couldn't believe that I'm a part of that. What an amazing story of grace. Why would I sell out to anything other than that? You know, in verse 33, after he says, I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church, nevertheless, each individual among you, also is to love his own wife, even as himself. I tell you what the one body teaches us. One individual's responsibility. The value of being in Christ and working for the Lord to build up His body. If what we study this week about the New Testament church means anything, it means fulfilling our duty and responsibility and being to work about making that body bigger and understanding what a privilege it is to serve the Lord all of our lives with our individual talents in the body of Christ. To be His fullness and completeness here and in eternity. And if we can help you obey the gospel in Jesus Christ in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.